many people have asked me if I'm nervous. And I keep saying, no, I'm not nervous. Now I'm nervous. I don't quite. For you 340 people had asked me if I was nervous, and evidently about 240 of you didn't show up. No, we're okay. You know, thank you all for coming today. It's great. It's a great day. I want to take just a moment to explain to you, Pastor will be back next week. My wife told me I had to say that. Pastor will be back next week, and he'll be back at the pulpit. And one of the things I want you to understand is what he's doing is a great honor for him. When that was presented to the deacons, he didn't present it like, hey, I'm going out there. He presented it, may I go out there? And that's the heart of a servant. That's a pastor's heart, by the way, that cares more about you than he does about getting an honor of being a speaker in New York City. And so I hope you appreciate that. I hope you appreciate your pastor. And so what I'd like to do is just take a second. He's going to preach. He's going to speak tonight, and he's going to speak tomorrow. I'm just going to take a second here to pray for him, if that's okay with you, that God will just absolutely just indwell his spirit and just blow the whole place up. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we pray for Pastor. You know him, Father. He's that kind, wonderful man that you have left us with. And we pray, Lord, that you would take him this week, this night, and tomorrow, and fill his heart with a word about New York City ministry, about the many things that he saw after 9/11, and all those things that went on there at New York City. And the power of your word and the power of your spirit in that city is amazing at times. And we pray for him and Joanne also to do that. We'll sit back and go eat a good jealous sandwich. Watch over him, Father, and protect him and keep him safe. But most of all, Father, use them as the way you want to use them this weekend in New York City. And we praise you for that. In Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, he'll be back Wednesday night too. So if those of you who are planning or usually are here on Wednesday night, I think you'll enjoy that. You'll enjoy that. One little commercial for those of you who don't attend Sunday school. Nah, I call it Sunday school. I don't know. What is it called now? Walk groups, that's it. I've heard small groups, walk groups. Yeah, I'm old. I've been here almost 51 years. It's Sunday school, okay? So, you know, I like the whole idea of Sunday school because you come to learn something, hopefully. Now, if you come into my class, you may not. But in most of the classes, you're going to learn something. We have some amazing teachers, really. We have some people that can absolutely take the Word of God and show you some wonderful things. And I don't know which class you're in, but I don't know that we've got a bad teacher. Well, we don't have a bad teacher. And by the way, if you really want to sit under somebody who's really great, who really does a good job, who works hard in his preparation, it is Asa. That's why I picked one, because I'm going to say that about him. But do try to attend that. You'll learn. We just finished the book of Nehemiah. And it was amazing, in my opinion, although I was the teacher. Still, the book is an amazing book. And it's the first time I think I taught that. So we're in Psalms right now for a little while until I figure out something easier to do. Okay. What we're going to talk about this morning, what I wanted to share with you, everybody kept saying, what are you going to preach on? I said, I have no idea. You know, but what I do know is this. One of the things that it is important, I think, in the Christian world today, in the church today, in the body of believers today, is what we're finding is that people are just halfway using God. They used him for their salvation and they're okay. Well, where are we? I don't need him anymore. Salvation is good. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Here I go. But you see, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you see all the joy and all that. How many people don't have any joy anymore? You see, but God gives us joy. See, I don't think that a lot of Christians today even understand much about God. So we're going to talk about God this morning. And we're going to talk about some of the things that it may be a little weird for you. And you may think, hey, the guy's nuts. Where did he get that from? But let's look at, we can look at a lot of things. I hope you understand. So I went to Pastor Newman many years ago and talked to him about church service. And I said, you know, I'm just not getting anything out of the pastor. Now, I'm not going to tell you which pastor it was, but it's been years and years and years ago. And he told me, he said, if you'll just do this, I said, I have trouble staying awake. He says, if you'll just do this, if you'll just concentrate on trying to find one little nugget. Because whenever God's word is open, there's nuggets. He says, if you'll just work on grabbing just one little nugget, he says, then fall asleep, you're all right. So if you would, just try to get one good nugget today, and then if you want to take a break, you can. The greatness of our God is an amazing God. A couple of things I really do like that I like to see in this is in Genesis chapter 2. I'm a big Genesis fan. I taught Genesis a few years ago. It took us 18 months to get through the book of Genesis. But some of the things about Genesis that I think is great for us to look at and see is the fact of how our God reacts in many ways. He created, as Genesis gives us, He created this world we fit in. Now, I've heard some of you come off vacations and talk how beautiful it is. Gary and Marcia Sharp are going to Montana, and they were excited about going to Montana. I took them to the airport yesterday. They were excited about Montana because of the beautiful sunrises and sea. Me and my wife love Florida. We like to go down on the beach of Florida. We like to sit there at nighttime after supper and watch how fast the sun moves. Have you ever done that? The sun doesn't do like here. In Florida, it goes like that. Just all of a sudden, it's gone. And the beauty of the ocean and the beauty of the sound of the ocean is amazing. We've taken trips for years up to Minnesota to a lake called Bantrap Lake. I have a picture of it Susan took for me. That's on in our living room, our family room. And in the morning time when the dew is coming off the water, and the water's slick, and the loons are going, is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. God created an amazing place. But you know what? None of that is as beautiful as what the Garden of Eden was. He made the Garden of Eden perfect. He made it in a situation, in a deal where the trees were mature, where everything was there. And so when he got done with it, he took and made Adam. He made a man, and he placed it in to take care of it. And so in Genesis, we find here that part of it, to where that part of the garden is there. And he allowed man to take care of that garden, and he also allowed him to name the animals. He allowed him to take each one of these animals and name them. Now, I think that's a hoot. I don't know about you, but I think that would be a hoot. Can you imagine all of a sudden Adam's sitting one day and he hears something way up in the trees and he looks and there's a giraffe? Now, where did he come up with the name giraffe from? I mean, I can't even, of course, some of these baby names nowadays, maybe I can see where it's coming from. But anyway, a giraffe. By the way, name your next baby Tom. We'll just do something like that so the kid can spell it. I'd have had a terrible time spelling some of these names. That, you know, my grandson, I can't even spell his name. And it's Isaac. You know, name him Fred. What's wrong with Fred? I mean, come on, people. Let's get real. Anyway, so he takes Adam. He names him a simple name. He puts him in the garden, and he allows him. And God would come down in the cool of the evening. You can read that if you'd like. But God would come down in the cool of the evening, and he would walk amongst Adam. And he would walk through, and he says, well, how'd you do today, Adam? Now, I have a great imagination, by the way, but I believe this is really what happened. And Adam would say, well, you know what? I saw this creature that you created the other day, and you told me to name it, and I named it giraffe. Now, if I was God, the first thing I would say is why. But God knows everything. He knew it would be named giraffe, I guess, so it's not a big deal. But you can imagine the joy of Adam every day walking through the garden and naming animals. He'd come across the, you know, what's that? Well, that's a cockroach. No, it's, don't jump. It's not really there. That's a cockroach. It's maybe there. So Adam had this great gift of being able to name all the creatures that he had. And then something happens. It's that this is what I want you to see. All the silliness I've talked about, the main thing I want you to understand is this. God walked with Adam and talked with Adam and knew Adam. And the word I want to give you is he observed Adam. You say, where did you get that? Well, it says to us there in that scripture that as he went through that, he noticed or he knew or he saw that Adam needed a helper. He needed a helper. Now, how did God know that? Did Adam one day say, hey, yo, God, I need a helpmate? It's our God who is observing. It's our God who was watching. And it was our God's wonderful heart that saw that Adam was lonely, really, with all the wonderful animals, you know, all the poodles, all the chipmunks, everything. He was still lonely. Why? Because he didn't have someone like himself. So God took it upon himself to make him go to sleep. He took a great tongue and made woman. Now, my wife's here, so I'm not going to make any jokes about women. I do like to go home. But do you see God being observant in this situation and realizing that he made that Adam was lonely and needed someone? That's what God does for you. Now, I'm not saying if you're single that God's going to instantly send you a woman or a man. I'm just saying to you this, is that God saw and observed. He knows what your needs are. He knows you need to pay an electric bill tomorrow. He knows you need to do those things. Now, this is a God that's active in your life. This is not the Christian who gets saved and then goes and does whatever he wants to do and don't study God's Word or look at God's Word or understand God's Word. He looks at it and says, wow. Our God looks at it and says, you know what? He needs me to help him. He needs me to watch over their children. He needs me to help them this week to just have joy and to speak to that person about Christ that I'm sending him to. Our God is an observant God. And so when he looks at you and when you talk to him, he observes everything that you need to know. Now we go a little further into Genesis, and now we got the fall. Now a lot of people think about that, and they say that, you know, Eve went in and the devil took and made her eat this particular fruit off the tree, and the fruit is a big thing. I thought all my life it was an apple. How many of you thought it was an apple in your early days? Am I the only one? It seemed like that's what was on the little in first grade. They showed you it was an apple when it was, you know. And then all of a sudden we become very sophisticated, and now it's a fruit. And no one now wants to tell us what kind of fruit it is, but I know what kind of fruit it was. I know what kind of fruit it was. And you're all sitting here, and for some of you, you may have never seen this fruit, but it was a red haul. How many of you ate red hauls off a red haul tree? Most of you don't. You didn't grow up like I did before. A red haul tree, you found in areas, and it was just kind of grew wild. Nobody ever planted a red haul tree but God. And so the red haul tree had these little red things on it, about that big around. Now, you may have called it something else. It wasn't a crab apple. Crab apple was bigger, red haul tree. And you would eat it around the worm that was inside. You never ate the worm. So my thought is that actually the fruit of good and knowledge was a red haul tree. So it may not be, but that's what I thought. But they ate of this tree. They found themselves, as you know the story, they found themselves naked. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the evening today. Right? You can read that and you'll see that that's basically what was going on. It wasn't the first time he walked through. That's why they recognized it. This is a common thing for our God to walk into the evening and walk through the garden and just walk around and communicate with Adam, and I'm sure with Eve as she had been here. So it wasn't his first time, and it was God because they knew it was God because they had heard it many times. And God must have enjoyed it. I believe with all my heart that if you look really deep into the Scriptures, you'll find that God created man to enjoy it, to have communication with him, to walk with him. Now, if that isn't true, why would he allow his son to die on the cross? Why would he care a hoot about it? You know, how many times a day do you talk to him? Just really talk to him. Now, you heard me pray. I pray pretty simple. I pray pretty simple because I'm just simple. And I know what God wants to hear from me. He wants to hear who I am. He wants to hear what my troubles are. Well, sometimes he just wants to hear me talk. And I believe that God created Adam, and then he created Eve for Adam, and they created him and put him in the garden, and he created him there so he would have someone to enjoy and to walk with and to talk with and to spend time. How much time do you spend with God? Some of you come on Wednesday nights. That's great. Some of you come here and play basketball on Tuesday night, and hopefully you're spending some time with God here because you're playing here. God should be important in that basketball game. Should be important in your sports. Some of you work in places where you can take time and sit down and just talk to God. And I talk to him very plainly. I really do. My wife will tell you. Sometimes I'll say things that she'll even giggle when I say it. Because I believe it's, as in my generation would have been, I believe it needs to be real with God. You see, that's completing this process of getting saved and accepting the Holy Spirit into our life. There's this process also of communicating with God and living with God. When I got saved, I was 18 years old in youth camp. And I didn't know much about God until I came here. Pastor Newman, Pastor Wall, took me under his arm and led me down the path to baptism and all those wonderful things that come into play. And he taught me something that was very important. Well, I want to spend my life for me and my wife and for kids and for work and for all those things I do. I want to spend my life glorifying God. I hope I have spent 50-some years glorifying God. That's been my purpose. That's been my reason. And the reason is God made me that way. He wants you to be that way. If you're just using the one part to get to heaven, you're missing out on the greatest thrill of your life. Me and my wife miss church. We feel it. So all of a sudden, we got the fall. Adam and Eve ate of the red hall tree, and they're sitting there, and they hide from God for the first time. Normally, you almost get the feeling that they were so excited to see God, they'd come out and say, "Hey, God, look here." Now they're hiding. He says to them, "Why are you hiding?" "Because we're naked." And then, of course, his next statement was what? "How do you know you're naked? You know, you didn't know you were naked before." Been naked all over again. And here they were hiding from God, and they were naked. And God said, "Well, you know," he goes, "surely you've eaten from the tree." And, of course, you know the whole process that went through there. The proclamation of Christ. All those wonderful things from Genesis chapter 3. But the part I want to bring your attention to keep within the theme of what I'm talking about is the part that I want to tell you about is the fact that when he saw that they were naked, he did something. You see, I had a puppy by the name of Bubbles. Bubbles lived 16 years. Bubbles was a cute little fur ball, white fur ball. She was a peek-a-poo. And Bubbles loved me. We got her for Chad, but you can love Chad. But Bubbles loved me. Bubbles got to the point, like most puppies will, he got to the point where he just couldn't survive. He was in pain. He couldn't hold himself and all those things that went on with little puppies when they are 16 years old. And I remember the morning we were sitting, and Donna's going to take him to the vet to have him put to sleep, and I said, "I can't." And he sat there in my lap, and he had his head here, and he'd look up at me with his eyes. And Donna took him, and I cried. And I cried. You see, what Adam and Eve caused was God created these animals. I didn't create them. I just loved them. God didn't create the animals. Or God created the animals. Can you imagine how much he must have loved them? Can you imagine if he could love us, how much he must have loved the sheep and the goats and all the different things that were created by God? I mean, he made them himself. And he came down in the cool of the evening, not just to look at the trees and stuff, but to look at the animals and to love on them. I believe that's the kind of God we have. And he had to take one of them. And he had to kill it for the first time? Well, the very first time God had to kill one of his creatures. Do you think that was easy? Not the God that I know from the scriptures, it wasn't easy. It was extremely difficult. And so he took this animal and he killed it for what purpose? To clothe Adam and Eve. Why? Because they needed it. Just because they needed it. You see, God wants to provide your needs. Now, he didn't get it. I don't think he killed. I looked everywhere and I couldn't find where he killed him with a meat so that they'd have meat stoles. I didn't see that anywhere in there. But he provided cover for them by taking the animal and killing it and providing for them that where they felt comfortable. Now they could talk to God again. And of course, we know the story. He took them out of the garden. You see, our God's observant. He knew Adam's needs. When he saw Adam and Eve and they had failed and all the things that went through his mind, I told you not to eat of that. I mean, you're not getting your supper when you go to bed or something. I don't know how I would have reacted, but I know I wouldn't have just sat there and all of a sudden noticed that they needed something and I would provide it in a horrible way for me. Kill one of my animals. That's the God we have. How much are you using God? You see, he loves you so much and he cares so much for you that he sent his son to die on the cross. But that's just the beginning. He shows you all through the scriptures that he wants to provide for you, wants to take care of you. He wants to help you to enjoy this life and not fret over silly things. Read the fruit of the Spirit. You'll be amazed about the fruit of the Spirit. I've got down here again. I want to emphasize over and over again. God wants to spend time with you. Hebrews, one of my favorite verses in Hebrews is, "As faith cometh from hearing, hearing from the Word of God." That hearing could come from me, that could come from Pastor, that could come from Tony, that could come from Asa, that could come from Jason, that could come from a multitude of our people in our church. And we have some women who present the Scriptures amazingly. But the Word of God is what we're looking for. It helps us to grow. It helps us to look into this. Okay, Genesis chapter 37, 12 through 8. Now, by the way, I haven't started my message yet. That was just a preview. One of my favorite parts of Genesis is Joseph. I don't know if you've ever studied Joseph. I mean, studied Joseph. I think it took us about 3 months to get from 37 to 45. Joseph's an amazing person. But I'm going to tell you what made him amazing. You see, Joseph, if you don't know, was the son of Israel, or Jacob was his name, and God changed his name to Israel. He was the son of him. He was his favorite son because, if you'll remember the story, he worked 7 years for one wife. Anyway, he was his favorite. And one day in chapter 37, if you read that, it'll tell you he went out. He told him, he says, "Go out and see what your brothers are doing. See how they're going with the flocks." Because they had gone out to find grass for the sheep and animals to eat. So he goes off, and there's a whole story about a little bit of a journey. But as the brothers are sitting around, and by the way, they hated their brother. I didn't have any brothers and sisters. I'd like to have had one so I would have known what it was like to hate them. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I've seen some of you react to your brothers and sisters, so that must be one of the byproducts of having siblings, and so that you can hate them. That's the only thing I've ever figured. Now, some people, like my wife, she loved her 5 siblings. I mean, to the point that I think she loved them more than me. No, I mean, sorry. But so what he did was he's walking down the road and you see this situation, and all of a sudden they're talking about how they're going to kill him. Here he walks up, if you'll remember the Coat of Many Colors, maybe you read that somewhere. And I'm going to go through this fairly quick, but boy, if you really want to enjoy something this afternoon, sit down and read from 35 to 45. And if you're not touched and blessed by God, I would be totally shocked. But anyway, what the boys end up doing, they throw him in a pit, and they decide, God, all of a sudden, here comes a caravan going to Egypt. Now, I don't know if you have God moments. There's such a thing as a God moment. There's that moment that you all of a sudden just kind of, I'll give you a quick example because it's such a cool example in my life. Shannon Johnson, you all know Shannon. A lot of you know Shannon Johnson. Shannon and her husband didn't have babies and told that they probably wouldn't have any babies. And on Mother's Day one year, we were at the old church, Mother's Day. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking how hard this must be for poor Shannon. I know it's got to be tough for some women, but I thought Shannon wanted babies so bad, I just thought, this is terrible. And I'm sitting over here on the opposite side of where Shannon is sitting, and I'm praying for Shannon and crying and tears. I cry real easy. Me and Tony caught that from something. I don't know why. I think it was at the Dairy Queen or something. We caught that deal that we cry quick. And so here I am. I'm in this state. And afterwards, we come over, we're getting to talk to him, and she announces that she's pregnant. And now she can't quit having kids. Whatever she caught, it's an amazing thing. That's a God moment. Those are God moments. My son can tell you about many God moments that they have. By the way, they had water this week. What a prayer answer, huh? But my son can tell you about all kinds of God moments, and you can too. And I think they're good to keep to your heart. This was a God moment. The caravan's coming through. They sell it for money. They say, well, let's make some money. They take his coat, cut it up, put some blood on it, then take it back to Dad. Dad cries. Those are all cool things. That's what you'll get. Better than a Hallmark movie, you'll get that. And all of a sudden, he gets to Egypt. And as you remember, there was a captain named Potiphar who received him as a bought him. And he was such a great servant that he made him head of the house and stuff. But there's a key phrase that goes on throughout that entire text is the key phrase I want you to know. God was with him. When he's thrown in jail because he didn't mess around with Potiphar's wife, the scripture goes on and says, and God was with him. There was another thing about that that's interesting is that the guard, Pharaoh, and the king all stated to the fact that they knew that God was with him. And one of the most amazing things about this whole story is all that Joseph went through because of his stinky brother. You get it in 45, you get the end of it there. And what it boils down to is he tells them, and he cries out because he loves his brother so much after all they had done to him. He cares so much about him, and he worries about his dad, and he tells the boys, and of course we all know the story that saved Pharaoh. Now the whole idea of this story that God gives us, and it's not a story, it's an account, that is there, is to save the cross. Because Israel would have died without food, without water. But Egypt made Joseph smart enough that he did this. And they had plenty because of God's direction. But God was with him. I'm going to give you something now that's going to blow you away. The Holy Spirit didn't exist as far as in man at that time. Now he came down, and that's how God was with him. He came down in those moments just like he did to talk to Abraham. He came down in those moments just like he did to give Joseph those hints. But can I share something with you? We got it better. Because the Holy Spirit indwells us. When I got saved, I became a new creature in Christ. How many times have you heard that? What I'm hoping for you tonight is that you'll understand something very simple. What that basically means is that I can talk to my God anytime I want. I can walk in the cool of the, well, maybe not right now, it's a little hot, but I can walk in the cool of the evening with my Lord. I can sit in moments that my son sends us notification that kids are being kidnapped and that I can sit with my God and hold his hand and not tremble. That's it. Somebody said to me, how in the world do you stand putting those kids on a plane and leaving and knowing you're not going to see them for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? They'll be home, by the way, in 2021. You see, I would rather my son be where he is at in the perfect will of God than to be anywhere else in the world, to live next door to me. Maybe in a nice mansion with a swimming pool and a tennis court, but that's not going to happen. But I say the same thing to you. I would rather see Tony Bumgardner working for PPG and being happy and living for God than I would for him to be president of the United States and have millions of dollars and not live. Does that make sense? You see, I would rather Leroy Butler be where he is in his life, be in this church, try to help, be here every week so that we can perk up. You realize that when Pastor gets up here and speaks and he looks and he sees empty seats, that it hurts. Did you know that? Now, I love what we do. You see, our team over here, look at this. I want to show you. Our team over here is doing a great job. Look at all that. Look at this team over here. They're doing a great job. You guys are really sad. Now the reason for that is whoever reorganized the thing gave you more seats than we had. We used to have more seats. So anyway, don't worry about that. But the greatest thing you can do is be committed to the church. Be committed to the body of believers. Why? Because God dwells within you. And you have power for peace. He is observing you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're feeling. He knows how you're acting. And he knows when you've been bad. I think I just did a Christmas carol. But one of the things that we know about this amazing God that we have, through these texts that we see here, because he's here to do something. He's here to observe you, to watch you, to love you, to spend time with you, to walk with you. He's here also to provide for you and the things that you need. Not necessarily the things that you want, but the things that you need. You know, I tell everybody, I grew up in a neighborhood that the kids today would be considered very, very poor. You know, you only had one, now, don't have a heart attack. You only had one pair of shoes. When you wore them out, you got another pair of shoes. I told people one time, I got tennis shoes when I went to high school because they made you have them for gym. It's the only time I ever had two pairs of shoes in my entire life. Because they wouldn't let us wear tennis shoes. The young kids are going to have a heart attack. I better quit talking. They wouldn't allow you to have tennis shoes. You couldn't wear that to school. You had to wear regular shoes. But you know what? I didn't know we didn't have anything. Why? Because nobody had. That our God provided, our God watched over, our God protected. The other thing I like about this text here is, as I said, the guard knew that God was with him. The king, Pharaoh, knew that God was with him. And Potiphar knew that God was with him. My question to you today is that as you leave this place, does God know, does people know that God is with you? You know, it's easy to wear a halo here, but it's a little tougher when we go out in the world. But you see, that's where you can get your strength. I still have people call me from when I work. I employ people. When they're having difficulties, they'll call and talk to me. The people know that God is with you. Do you have that look on your face? You have the peace that passes all understanding. You have the joy of the Scripture. You have the confidence of God. I love the song messages today. God, that's a God thing. Those were probably all my favorite. Well, Elvis Blue Hawaii actually is my favorite, but I don't know that we'll be singing that here. But I do know this, that God does things just like that. And that song, I can only imagine, of course, probably everybody here liked that. I wondered if I'd be able to. I think he did it because he thought I'd go for it, so he'd be able to. But I can only imagine. I'm 72 years old. I'm getting closer and closer to getting to go see my Lord. I want to tell you something. If he came right now, I'd be happier than that. Of course, one thing would be I get to see my grandchildren with Chad right away. See, I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because God lives within me. And I exercise that. And I talk to him daily. And I walk with him daily. I try to walk with him daily. Maybe not when I'm driving. But daily. So one of the things I want to get across to you is this morning is simple. Salvation is the beginning of a walk. Salvation is the beginning of a time in your life that you can learn to know an amazing God. And it just gets that simple. God is a simple God. It's not complicated. It's not tough to understand. It's a simple, wonderful God. That's right. Father, we're amazed by you. You are a God that just absolutely blows my mind. I look at myself, Father, and I wonder how in the world could you love me? And yet you did. I listen to some of the great songs that are out there, and I love what it says. When you were on the cross, Father, Leroy Butler was on your mind. You died for me. But worse than that, my sin caused you to be on the cross. Not those Jewish people that say crucify, but the sins that I have committed, and those things that I have done showed that I could not have fellowship and walk in the garden with you. You had to fix it. You had to fix it. Because when you were on the cross, you were saying, I need Leroy in heaven. Somebody's got to sweep the streets. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the fact that you loved me so much. Loved me. I don't know about any of these. But you loved me so much that you sent your Son to die on a cross for me. May I continually, daily glorify your name. May when people talk about Leroy Butler, they will say one single thing.